This is such an important topic today. We are at war. It's a battle. Good versus evil, right versus wrong, light versus darkness, and there is no in-between. This is something that we need to know, we need to understand, and we need to be prepared for. In this video, we're going to be giving the top 10 pro-abortion arguments and how to answer and refute them. But with that being said, we need to do it in a loving and kind way, meaning we can't be angry and rude and condescending and laughing at people or calling them stupid or telling them to get a brain and all of these other things. These are amateur apologist moves for people who have no idea how to do Catholic apologetics or themselves need a deeper conversion with Christ. People like Christ, we don't speak that way. We speak in love and we speak with great joy and really just planting seeds to help people. But we don't have to back down. We can present the truth in a hard way, in a way that's strong, in a way that's courageous, in a way that doesn't compromise the truth, but also in a loving way as well. So let's look at the 10 pro-choice arguments. And when I say pro-choice, I mean pro-abortion, pro-murder arguments and how to refute them. The first pro-abortion argument is it's not a baby, it's just a fetus. It's just a clump of cells, so we are just removing the tissue. But of course, this is not true. Everyone that I speak to, it seems like, says, oh, it's a fetus, so it's not a human life. But they don't even know what the word fetus means. The word fetus is Latin, and it means little one. And scientifically, a fetus is from 8 weeks until birth. So technically a 9-month baby is a fetus. So are you really just removing tissue? No, that is a fully formed baby at that point, and that is a fetus. So they're misusing the term. Perhaps the word they're thinking of is embryo. They're thinking that it's just a small clump of cells. Oh, just some tissue. And so you're just removing. And these are the lies that little girls and young women receive from Planned Parenthood on a daily basis, it seems today. But the reality is a baby, the person in the womb, it is not a clump of cells. A clump is a part of something. If I pick up a clump of sand at the beach, it's not the whole beach, it's just a clump in my hand. If I pick up a clump of grass, it's not the whole yard, it's just the grass. It's a small part of the grass. Likewise, the baby in the womb, even at the earliest moment of conception, is a fully unique individual person. It has its own 100% DNA strand, which means it has everything it needs in order to be a fully functioning life. It just needs time and food, but it has everything in that DNA that it needs. So it's not a clump or a piece of something. It's a whole, complete, unique organism, a whole human life. Most women don't even know they're pregnant between like 4 and 7 weeks or somewhere around there, some even later than that. And even by this time, a baby has a heartbeat and a baby has a tongue and eyes and a nose and a mouth and muscles are growing and limbs are growing. And so it's not just a clump of cells that we're aborting or that we're killing. It's not just some tissue or a tumor, as some people like to say. It's actually a human life. And we know it's a human life because it has 100% human DNA, making it human, and it's growing. So it's a growing human life. The second pro-abortion argument is it's my body, it's my choice. I have the right to do what I want with my own body. Now, this is really fallacious reasoning. And I remember I was walking through Boston and I used to do street evangelization. And I came across a woman who said, excuse me, sir, can you help me? And I said, sure, what do you need help with? And she said, oh, we're trying to secure rights for animals. I said, well, what's going on? And she said, well, a lot of animals are being abused by their owners and killed, and we're trying to stop animal abuse. And I said, okay, well, is that bad? You know, that animals are abused and killed. And she said, oh yeah, it's terrible. You should see the inhumane things that are being done to them. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Out of the blue, I'm just curious. Are you pro-life or pro-choice? And the girl like had no idea that that was coming. It was like out of left field. And she was confused by it. She said, I'm personally pro-life, but I don't think we should be able to legislate morality or tell a woman what to do with her own body. And I said, well, I personally don't think we should tell an owner what they can do with their own animals. They should be able to have the right to choose what they want to do in the privacy of their own home, right? And she said, like her mouth dropped. Like she saw the irony of the comment and the similar argument that she used. And she realized that, oh, okay, I get it. That makes sense, but I don't know what to say about it. But the reality is we don't have the right to do whatever we want with our own body. And sometimes I like to use extreme examples to help people critically think, since we've lost that art in our country. And I'll say that some people think it's okay to rape. And what's wrong with that? I mean, if a man wants to rape a woman, who are you to stop him? I mean, I personally think rape is wrong. I would never do it. And I personally don't think anyone should do it, but I'm not going to go tell him what he should do with his own body. If he wants to do that, I personally wouldn't, but you know, I don't want to legislate morality or step on toes or, you know, tell him what to do with his own body. And most of the people really don't like that example because it's the same logic. And they'll say, well, that's different because he's doing something wrong to the woman. He's forcing himself on the woman and he's hurting her, he's injuring her. And I'm saying, isn't the same thing happening in abortion, where the woman is forcing her will upon the baby and she's forcing something violent upon the baby and she's doing something wrong and harmful to the baby? It's the same thing. If we see something like rape that's wrong, we should stop it and prevent it. In like manner, if we see something or someone getting harmed like an abortion, we should stop it and try to prevent it. Now, someone might say, and this brings us to our third point, that the fetus, again, they love to use that word, doesn't feel anything, and so therefore it's okay to kill it or remove it. And this is a terrible argument. This is terrible reasoning because, I mean, just because someone can't feel something, it's okay for you to kill it? I mean, if someone's in a coma, they might not feel anything, but can you kill that person? What if you go up to someone in the street and you knock them out? You just punch them really hard and you knock them out. They're out cold on the street. They're not going to feel it if you kill them right then and there. So by that same logic, you're saying that it's okay to kill that person just because they can't feel it. But of course, that reasoning doesn't hold up. Pro-abortion argument number 4, a fetus cannot survive on its own. It's not viable outside of the womb, therefore it's okay to kill it. Really? When did viability become the yardstick, the measuring stick for whether we can kill someone or not? If someone can't live on their own and support themselves, we're able to kill them? We're getting into very dangerous ground that sounds like Hitler. Hitler euthanized thousands of people who he considered not being able to support themselves, a plague of society, people who had dementia or diseases or people who couldn't support themselves. And Margaret Sanger, Planned Parenthood, had the exact same reasoning. But the reality is this is terrible logic because a baby, even a one-day-old baby, cannot support itself. If you bring it to the top of the mountain and leave it there, it'll die very shortly because it can't support itself. Even a 6-month baby, a 1-year-old baby, a 2-year-old baby can't support itself. Sure, they can breathe for a little while, but if there's no one there to feed them, they're going to die in a few days. They can't support themselves. And the same logic would say that we can kill them because they themselves are not viable, but that doesn't really make sense. The 5th pro-abortion argument is that you can't legislate morality. You can't force yourself or your religion or your morality on other people. Keep it to yourself. If you believe that, that's great. That's fine. But don't force it on other people. Don't legislate your morality. But what people don't realize is that we legislate morality every single day of the week. We legislate morality all the time. First, this isn't a religious argument. It's a moral argument. It's a human right argument. We are trying to protect the right of this innocent human. And that has, I mean, there's atheist pro-lifers. And I have people on our Catholic Truth YouTube channel who come onto there and say, this is not a religious argument. We are atheist and we are also pro-life. It's about protecting human life, they say. And that's a really important point, is that even atheists understand that this is not a religious argument. We legislate morality every single day. We say no drunk driving. You can't beat your wife. No domestic violence. You can't rape. You can't kill. You can't steal. I mean, a whole host of things that we legislate every single day. Why? The law is supposed to tell us what is right and wrong. It is supposed to educate us and point us in the right direction. This leads us to our next argument, which is that abortion is illegal. And since it's illegal, it's okay. And if you make it illegal, it's going to be much more dangerous for the women, because women are going to go in back alleys and they're going to have coat hangers, and they're just going to have many amounts of dangers presented to them. And in fact, many women might even die. Thousands and thousands of women die every year from back alley abortions. And that's what we're trying to stop, by having them have healthy and sanitary places to remove their child. First things first, just because something is legal doesn't make it right. Slavery was legal. Are we saying that that was okay just because it was legal? We had the right to treat African-American people like properly, like cattle? Of course not. In Germany, it was legal to kill Jews. And in fact, it was encouraged to kill Jews, and it was okay by law. So, I mean, are we saying that just because something is legal, it's moral? That is not a good argument. The second thing I tell women is like, why don't you want back alley abortions? And they say, because women get injured. You know, many harmful things can happen. They're done in really dirty places. They're unsanitary. They could even be killed or develop lifelong problems. And I say, okay, so that's bad? They say, yeah, it's bad. I said, why is it bad? And they say, didn't you just hear me? The woman can die. She can die. And, you know, she can develop bad things. Harmful things can happen to her. And I said, okay, so it's bad that harmful things happen to a woman, and it's bad that a woman can die. What exactly happens in every abortion? A baby dies. A human life dies. So by your own logic, if death is bad and someone dying is bad, we should ban abortion, because every time an abortion happens, someone dies. And in fact, in every abortion, two people walk in, but only one walks out. And that's important. And that's what we agree with you, that death is bad and harming someone is bad. We're just trying to protect the mother and the child. We're trying to protect both. And we have organizations across the country that work to help and protect both. But the reality is, here's the reality. Back alley abortions don't really happen with coat hangers. That's not a thing. That's a myth or a misconception that somebody started, but that's not actually true. Maybe a couple here or there would do something very bad or have something harmful happen to them, but the majority, probably, I think it's estimated that 95% of all back alley abortions were not actually unsafe. They were done illegally by trained physicians. The same physicians who would do it in abortion clinics were doing it in back alleys before it was legal. And in fact, in Roe versus Wade, I believe 39 people, the year before Roe versus Wade was legalized, when you could do them in back alleys, 39 women died from abortions. 24 women died from legal abortions. So 39 died from illegal and 24 died from legal. That's almost the same amount. But that totally disproves the fact that thousands of women die from back alley abortions every year, because they don't. They were done by physicians. And even the president of Planned Parenthood came out and blew apart this myth. She, of all people, said that this is not true. Listen to what she says. I don't like reading in videos, but listen, it's important to understand what she says. Listen to what she said. She says, quote, abortion is no longer a dangerous procedure. And this does not just apply to therapeutic abortions, but also those performed in hospitals, and also to the so-called illegal abortions done by physicians. In 1957, there were only 260 deaths from abortion in the entire country attributed to abortion of any kind, unquote. 260 of any kind throughout the whole country, no matter legal or illegal. I mean, so thousands every year die. She said even Planned Parenthood, of all places, has blown that apart. But people are going to do it anyways. Even if you make it illegal, people are going to keep doing it. Of course they are. Rape is illegal, but people do it anyways. That doesn't mean we should legalize rape. Murder is actually illegal, but that doesn't mean we should get rid of that law, because people are going to do it anyways. Can you see the fallacious reasoning here? The logic that does not hold up. Just because something is legal or illegal doesn't make it right or wrong. It's on the basis of the act itself. Remember, the law is an educator, and it points us to what is moral, good, and true. And killing an innocent human being, alive outside of the womb or alive inside the womb, are both equally wrong, and we should have laws to educate us in that. Pro-abortion argument number 7. Healthcare is a right. Abortion is healthcare, so therefore abortion is a right because healthcare is a right and women should have access to healthcare. But when is killing your child considered healthcare? Killing another human being is considered healthcare? Nobody has the right to kill another human being. Not the father, not the mother, not the friend, not a doctor. Nobody in the world has a right to play God and to kill another innocent human being. And I read somewhere recently, in fact, the process of a first trimester abortion, which most people are for in the abortion world. They're saying, you know, it's okay in the first trimester. But even in the first trimester, they dilate the cervix of a woman, and then they stick a straw up there, which is not the technical term of it, and they suck out the baby part by part, and the straw can even expand to get around the baby's head. Now, that's an important point because it's not just tissue. It's not just fetal tissue. It's not just a clump of cells. We're actually pulling out body parts, and the doctors, this same article said, have to separate the body parts, feet here, arms there, head here, to make sure that they get all the body parts out of the woman, because if they don't, that could, you know, create complications for the woman. So they have to make sure they have all the body parts. And if you can tell the difference between hands and feet and head and different things like that, clearly it's not a clump of cells. Clearly we're dealing with something here. And I think that's important sometimes to tell people this so that they can see the reality of what abortion is. Pro-abortionment number 8, we need to make exceptions for rape and incest. This is one of the most popular ones. And I usually say, well, if we make an exception for rape and incest, are you willing to outlaw abortion in every other case? You know, if we're willing to make an exception, are you willing to get rid of abortion in all other cases? And almost 100% of the time, almost 100% of the time, they'll say no. You know, people should have access to abortion. They need it for different reasons. And so really the exception that they want you to make, they are not even willing to make that exception only. And so it's a moot argument. It doesn't hold up. It's a smokescreen to try to derail the pro-life argument. And so I always bring that up. If we make this exception, are you willing to get rid of abortion in all other cases? We can compromise. They say no. Then don't bring up the argument because it's not really your argument. It's not what you mean by that, and it's not a good argument. What you're saying, in fact, is that a woman who was raped had something horrible, had something violent happen to her and forced upon her, and she was innocent. This is key. But you're saying the best solution to that is to go have the woman force herself to do something evil and violent upon her own child and to kill it. I mean, the woman didn't deserve rape. She was innocent. She didn't deserve to have that violence forced upon her. Likewise, the baby is an innocent party who did nothing wrong and does not likewise have the right or should have violence forced upon it. And you know who's the only person who gets away with all of this usually is? The rapist. We know that they often get a slap on the wrist and they don't have harsh parole for them and that sort of thing. And so a lot of times the rapist gets away with it. The only person who should be punished, and really the people who are punished, are both the mother and the child in abortion. But what really blows me away is I've heard a couple of abortion counselors who have counseled women their whole life on abortion. And they've told us, and I heard this in a talk myself, they said almost 100% of the time, women who have had abortions after rape regret it 100%. They feel so bad because they had something evil forced upon them. And then they feel guilty that they went and did something evil to their own child who was innocent. And they said they have years of guilt and depression and pain. And it takes counseling many times and forgiveness. And it just kills them. And it doesn't actually help them, like Planned Parenthood says, where conversely, women who have the baby after abortion, even though it's super difficult to carry and maybe painful to go through, they say that they almost 100% of the time love it because something so beautiful and glorious came out of something so evil, tragic, and horrific. And they say that such joy comes out of that. So these are actual real life examples, not theoretical examples of, oh, well, it could be this or could be this. Or we don't want women to suffer. Women are going to be, you know, would you want to carry that baby? I mean, they're in theory guessing, but almost 100% of the time, all the women that they've seen have always been glad that they've had the baby. Even if they've given it up for adoption, they've glad that they've given life to something so beautiful, which they say brings healing to their life. Whereas when they don't, well, When they have the abortion, it doesn't work out. They feel guilt. They have depression and they need years of counseling. So the proof is in the pudding, and that's not a good argument. The next argument is basically the same thing, is we need to make exceptions for the life of the mother. But in reality, this is the same argument and it doesn't hold up, because the life of the mother being taken through birth is like 0% or very close to 0%. So it's hardly even an issue anymore because of the technology that we have. But I even give them the benefit of the doubt. I say, okay, the mother, her life is important. And if we make an exception, we're willing to make an exception for mothers to have an abortion if it's going to cost them their life. Are you willing to get rid of abortion in all other circumstances? And in almost every case, they say no. So I said, well, then don't bring it up, because that's not really your argument. You want abortion on demand, anytime, for any reason. And this is what hardcore pro-abortion arguments and people will make. So really, this is just another smokescreen, and it doesn't really hold up, because I know people who have had complications and it was going to cost the life of the mother. But because of the technology we have today, we could just take the baby out early. It wasn't a problem. Life's saved. Pro-abortion number 9 argument. I have the right to refuse the baby and the life in the womb because I didn't want it. I didn't choose it. And it's kind of like a kidney transplant. I don't have to give someone a kidney transplant. It may save their life, but I can refuse that. And it's my choice. The difference is that kidneys filter your blood. A uterus is actually meant to have life. And yes, you did choose to have the life when you chose to have sex. Because when you have sex, you have babies. That's the purpose of the organs that you're using down there, the private parts, and the purpose of the uterus. And in fact, when you lose a kidney, that means something is wrong in your body and you need another one. But when you have a baby, it means that something went right in your body and you're working according to nature. You're working according to your body's natural function in the way it's supposed to work. So there's a huge difference between the two. Pro-abortion argument number 10 is that pro-lifers are not really pro-life. They're just pro-birth. They just want babies born. They don't care about the life of the women. They don't care about what happens to the women. They don't even care if they're harmed. They only care about the life of the baby. And unfortunately, even some Catholics, pro-abortion Catholics like Sister Joan Chittiston, I mean, she should be ashamed of herself for promoting abortion as a Catholic nun, vocally, by the way. We have a whole video on this in our YouTube channel. But she actually says this exact statement, that most Catholics are just pro-birth, not pro-life. But this could not be further from the truth. The real truth is, not the myth, not the misconception that's being presented, is that Catholics are the most pro-life organization on earth. And pro-lifers care for the women more than anyone else. Places like Planned Parenthood that really just care about them and their money and getting them into the abortion so they can get their money. Now, that's not to say that many women in Planned Parenthood don't care about women, because they do, but they're lied to. They don't help women in the same way. You can't help a woman by having her kill her baby. That's not helping a woman. It's hurting her and destroying her mentally, physically, emotionally, and many times even spiritually. Well, every time spiritually. So it's not actually helping a woman, even if you really think you are. But pro-lifers actually help women, because what does Planned Parenthood do for the woman after she leaves? And if you talk to people who have had abortions, many times they're so broken inside, they're so hurting, physically they can't even walk, and they're there for like a little while, and then Planned Parenthood kicks them out and sends them home, and they don't even give them time to recover. There's no one there helping them, rubbing them, you know, giving them counsel or anything else. They're just there to suffer and leave and go home and suffer some more and suffer some more. But pro-lifers have started organizations of all kinds to help the women, to help the children, and to help the babies. I mean, you won't find Planned Parenthood giving out, you know, endless supplies of diapers to people, money, carriages, housing, counseling support, and many other things that life organizations across the country give to mothers. They even give them shelter and housing. They have whole homes for them. It's pro-life organizations that are doing the most for mothers pre-abortion and post-abortion. They even have retreats to help women heal who need it. You're not going to see Planned Parenthood handing out money. You're not going to be seeing Planned Parenthood doing all these things for women. It's the pro-life organizations that help the women. And this is the whole pro-life cause. And this is what we'll finish up with, is that the pro-life position is that we want to help the mother and the child, not just one or the other. We don't want to kill one to help the other. We want to help both. We want to give the child life. Because we all have, in this country, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we also want to help the mother in her needs, because many women don't want abortions, and they're forced to have it. They feel like they have no choice in the matter. So we want to be kind and caring and loving to them and give them the help and support they need as well. But we also want to help them spiritually, financially, emotionally, physically, and in other ways. And in fact, at my church alone, we give out so many baby carriages and donations of clothes and money and food and diapers and everything that a single mother might need. She doesn't go to Planned Parenthood for that. She goes to the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church is the most pro-life and pro-human, pro-dignity organization on the face of this earth. So it is a complete myth to say that pro-lifers are only pro-birth. We want to help the women and the child. It's not one or the other. It's both and. So check out our podcast. We don't make videos every day, but if you're hungering for more spiritual truth, check out our podcast, the Catholic Truth Podcast. We often make podcasts on days that we don't do video, so you can get fed more there. Make sure to subscribe to that. Check out our social media and check out our other information below. Check out our website if you would like a Catholic speaker, a passionate Catholic speaker, to come to your church, to fire it up, to instruct your congregation, to give a confirmation retreat. thecatholictruth.org. Check it out. We have so much there. And if you would like us to come speak to your parish, to give a keynote, whatever you want, just let us know. If you're in Ireland, Australia, or America, we will come and speak at your parish. Thank you so much for watching this video. Please share it with others. This message is so important. We need to get it out there. We need to get people fed. And even in the Catholic Church, we need to do a better job of feeding. The Catholic Church admittedly has been broken the last 40 years in many parts of the world, at least, you know, in a lot of first world countries. And so people aren't being fed as much as they should. But that doesn't mean we leave the church to go get a counterfeit and to eat lots of candy and things that don't satisfy for very long. The true truth of Jesus Christ is found in the Catholic Church, and that alone will set you free.
Hi everyone, my name is Kate. I'm the video editor here at Catholic Truth, and I just wanted to say on behalf of all of us, thank you so much for taking some time to watch our videos and learn more about your faith. You guys really make this channel possible, and we truly appreciate you being here. So thanks again, and God bless.